What a blessing. Tell you, that is what Christmas is all about. And, of course, the devil doesn't want that song sung. The devil would rather you hear about a snowman and fat boy and getting stuck in the chimney. And wow, that is just such a beautiful song. And praise the Lord for that. Oh, holy night. What a wonderful night when Christ was born. What a wonderful day it's going to be when He comes back. How exciting that is. Well, in Luke chapter 2, we have a fella here that was shouting and he was excited because he saw Jesus. Amen. Simeon, he was waiting. The Bible says he was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And you know, as we wait for the return of Jesus Christ, as Simeon was waiting on the coming of Jesus Christ, as we wait on the return, we need to be just and devout as well. You say, I'm getting impatient. Well, you just need to do right and just keep doing right like Simeon did. And the Bible says the Holy Ghost was upon him. And I'll tell you what, you talk about a way to wait. Waiting when you have the Holy Spirit of God guiding into the truth of the Scripture, being the comforter that He is. It's not so hard to wait. And the Bible says it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he knows. He knows before I die, I'm going to see Jesus. And I want to call your attention to verse 30, which is the title of my message. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Simeon so excited when he sees Jesus. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. I cannot imagine. Here this man, this elderly man, he's waited and waited. He's done right. He's loved God. He's done so right. The Holy Spirit of God is on his life. He's filled with the Holy Spirit of God. He's lived for the Lord. He's waited. He's waited. God has shown him that he's not going to die till he sees him. And here he is. He's an elderly man. He's feeble now. Maybe some nights he said, Lord, I'm just ready to go. Some nights he's probably said, you know, I'm old. I'm my body's wearing out and I'm ready to go. But God, I know you've said that I'm going to see the Messiah. I know you've told me that I'm going to see the Christ, the Anointed One. I know you told me that, God, but, well, I'm ready. I'm ready to see Him, God. And then the time comes, and here come the parents bringing Jesus to Simeon, and Simeon holds Him, and he looks, and the Bible says that he says, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. I see Him now. There's the salvation of mankind. Jesus, the salvation. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. What an amazing story this is as we think about Christmas, waiting to see the Messiah. In verse 28, he says this, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. He says, you know, Lord, now I'm ready to die. I've seen him. I've seen thy salvation. Let me just add this to our introduction this morning. You're not ready to die till you see the Lord Jesus Christ. You may think you're ready to die and you may be near death, but you're not ready to die until you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're not ready to die until you know Jesus. You're not ready to die until, like Simeon, you've seen the salvation of the Lord. You've experienced the salvation of the Lord. Please, please, don't die until you trust Christ. You say, well, preacher, I don't know when I'm going to die. Then you ought to get saved today. Amen. If you're not saved, you ought to get saved today. If you're a child, you ought to get saved today. If you're a teenager, you ought to get saved today. You say, well, I think I've got a lot of years to live, but you don't know. And I'm telling you this, you're not ready to die till Jesus is your Savior. You're not ready to die until you've seen and trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. All these years, Simeon waited and waited and waited, and he did right, and he lived for God. Waited to see the Lord until he could say, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. We see millions of things. Our eyes are absolutely amazing. Our eyes are greater than any camera man will ever invent. Our optic nerve alone, man looks at it, tries to figure it out, tries to reinvent it, and it's not going to happen. It's amazing all the things that these eyes and your eyes have seen over the years. And think about Simeon. Simeon had seen a lot of things. Simeon, over the years, had watched all kinds of things take place. He'd seen a lot of things. But here, wrapped up into his whole life, is this one event that literally is the event that he's been waiting for, and that is to see the Messiah, to see the Christ, the Anointed One, to see Jesus, the most important thing. You know, you and I, we're constantly looking at things all the time. I mean, some things are good, some things are not so good. We look at this, we look at that, we'll watch things on TV. Christmas time, we look at decorations. Brother Kelvin took the senior saints on a trip, and they went up to Westland, I believe it was, and looked at some lights there. And I know several families, they pack everybody up in the car and take some popcorn and food and take off and look at all the lights. And I mean, we're always looking at all kinds of things. But I've got news for you folks: until you've seen Jesus, you've really not seen anything. Until you see Jesus, and once you see Jesus, you've seen everything you need to see. He is the most important thing in the world, the most important person in the world to see. And you need to see Him today. Please, whatever you do, don't leave until you've seen Jesus and trusted Him as your Savior. And as a Christian, maybe you used to look on Him, maybe you used to look at Him, and maybe you used to look at Him in a different way. I'm telling you, you need Him today. Scripture describes three ways of looking at Jesus. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. Three ways of looking at Jesus. Number one is looking upon Jesus. Number two is looking unto Jesus. And number three is looking for Jesus. My question is, we're in church this morning. Are you looking for Him? Are you looking unto Him? Are you looking upon Him? I mean, here we are, we're in church. We're looking for a lot of things. You know, we're looking, we come to church. Why do you come to church? It ought to be, folks, something to do with Jesus. I challenge you this morning, looking unto Jesus, looking for Jesus, or looking upon Jesus. Number one, looking upon Jesus. John 1 and verse 36. John chapter 1 and verse 36. Looking upon Jesus. And the Bible here talking about John the Baptist, it says, "And looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God." What was John doing? Again, this is talking about John the Baptist here. And he was looking upon Jesus. In my mind, I see him checking him out, and he's looking upon him. But he's looking upon him because the Holy Spirit of God has directed him to look upon him. And he's looking upon Jesus because he knows that we're looking for the Messiah. He knows that the Christ is to come. He knows that he has been sent to testify about the Messiah. He knows he is to proclaim the Messiah who is to come. He knows the Messiah is greater than him, and he knows he's not the Messiah, and he looks upon Jesus. And in my mind, I wonder, John, how did you see him? How did you see him when you looked upon him? What was it that you saw? And three things I call your attention to as we think about looking upon Jesus. And the first thing is this: John saw him as the light. Because that's what he was looking for. Look at John 1 and verse 6. "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light." By the way, many people said to John as he preached, said, "Hey, are you the Messiah?" "No, no, 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 no." "Are you the light, John?" "No, no, no, I'm not. I'm sent to tell you about him. I'm the voice crying in the wilderness. Hey, I'm trying to get you ready for the light." He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. But you know what? John saw him as the light. Understand this. Light shines in darkness, and the darkness can't handle the light. Where there's light, there's no dark. And if you like dark, you don't like light. You don't like light. You know how it is in the morning. You know, you get, especially just like in our house, we have blinds pulled down. We have our regular blinds, and we have darkening blinds. We like it dark. in our room. We like to, you know, our sleep, we like to, I mean, we like it to be dark. And, but once we turn a light on, it's like, whoa, you know, that's tough on the eyes. We have lights in our bathroom that, above the mirror, and it shines off that mirror. And I mean, it'll wake you up real fast. But, darkness, we have to get used to that light. And that sudden light, darkness doesn't like it. In fact, the Bible says in verse 5, it says, the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. Look at chapter 3, verse 18. Again, thinking about how John looked upon Jesus, he saw him as the light. Notice chapter 3, verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, talking about Jesus. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Watch what it says. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. What is it that caused mankind and the Jews and the leaders, the religious leaders, what is it that caused them to say, crucify him? What is it that caused them to say, we hate him? What is it that caused them to reject the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ? I submit to you today, it's because he's the light. What is it that causes people all over our world today to be so angry about Merry Christmas? It's the name Christ in Christmas. It's because he's light. He shines as a light. If he's a little baby in a manger, that's cute. That's okay. But you Christians, you want him to grow up. You want him to preach against sin. And you want him to be shining light that exposes the darkness in my heart. Yeah, John saw him as a light. And that light, the Bible says, this is the condemnation. Light has come into the world. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. This morning you say, I don't want to hear about Jesus. It's because you love darkness rather than light. The only thing you can find about Jesus that is so offensive is that he's light and exposes our dark hearts. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, verse 20, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. The people today that hate Jesus, they hate the light. They hate what he exposes. They hate his preaching. They hate his death on the cross, because his death on the cross exposes the sin of man. We like to think we're pretty good folks. We like to think we're all right. We don't want the preacher preaching about sin. We don't want the Bible telling us about sin. We don't want to hear about our sin, because it's light shining in darkness. But Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life. Jesus is that shining light that exposes man for what he is. What is it that will allow an antichrist at the end of the tribulation? How will he unite an army against Jesus as he comes down from heaven? How could he get people to support him against it? It's because Jesus is the light. The light that shows us our sin. John saw him as a light. By the way, as John looked upon Jesus, he realized what he was. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to even latch his shoes. I'm not worthy, John said, because he saw Jesus as a light. My friend, today you need to look upon Jesus. You need to see he is the light. And you need to see that next to him, all have sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory. He is the glory of God. He is the light. You say, I don't want to hear that. Oh, let me tell you something. I didn't like it either when I was a teenager. I didn't like it when the first time I heard that I was a sinner and I was lost and going to hell. But I'll be honest with you, I'm so glad somebody told me. I'm so glad that Jesus showed me my lost condition. Because you know what? It doesn't matter how you paint it, whitewash it, whatever. Doesn't matter how you look at yourself. My friend, next to the light, there's sin. There's sin. And He shows us our sin. He shows us our lost condition. But He also, as the light, He shows us the way of salvation. And He provided that way when He died on the cross. And that's the second thing. As John the Baptist is looking upon Jesus, he saw Him as the light, but John also saw Him as the Lamb. And in verse 36, looking upon Jesus as He walked, He saith, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And every Jew would stop and look. Wait a minute. The Lamb of God? Because every Jew in his memory would remember the sacrifice of the Lamb and the blood that would temporarily take care of their sin. And John the Baptist saw Jesus when he looked upon Him. See, here's the thing. You haven't looked upon Him. You heard about Him. Maybe you read about Him. Heard somebody preach about Him. I want you to look upon Him today. He's the light. He exposes our sin. But He's also the Lamb who takes away our sin. John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Verse 29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and he saith, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." He saw Him as a Lamb. The Jews understood. They would have to be a perfect Lamb. Oh, He's perfect. Have to be a spotless Lamb. Oh, yeah. No sin in this Lamb. And this Lamb would not temporarily take away sin. Read the book of Hebrews. He would permanently take away sin. And He wouldn't do it just for some, but He would do it. The Bible says He taketh away the sin of the world. Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. When John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God," he's saying, this is the Messiah, the Savior, the Christ. This is the Lamb. This is the one who will take away the sins of the world. Look upon Jesus today. You see Him as the light. You say, but next to Him, I'm lost. Next to Him, I'm a sinner. Next to Him, I deserve hell. Oh, yeah, but then see Him as the Lamb. See Him as the Lamb of God who took your sins on Him as He was crucified. Who took your sins, literally took them away. And call on Jesus to come into your heart and save you today. Look upon Jesus. John saw Him as a light. John saw Him as a Lamb. But then number three, John saw Him as the Lord. Oh yeah, he saw Him as the Lord. Notice verse 30. The Bible says, "This is He of whom I said, after Me cometh a man which is preferred before Me, for He was before Me." Amen? He said He's preferred. He was before Me. He's eternal. He's God. He said in chapter 3 and verse 30, look what John the Baptist said. He said, "He must increase, but I must decrease." Once you see Him as a light and you find out you're lost and you're a sinner, then you see Him as a Lamb and realize that He is a sacrifice to pay for your sin so you can be saved, so you can trust Christ, so you can go to heaven. Then you need to see Him as the Lord. And you need to say with John the Baptist, "He must increase, I must decrease." Oh, if you'd let Jesus increase in your life and decrease you, your life would be so much better. Do you know most of our problems that we have is just too much us? It's just too much us, not enough Him. If you'd have more Him and less you, your life would get better. It really would. John the Baptist said, "Hey, I'm looking upon Jesus." And as he looked upon Jesus, he saw Him as a light. As he looked upon Jesus, he saw Him as a Lamb. As he looked upon Jesus, he saw Him as a Lord. And he saw that He is the one that needs to be followed. John could have had a crowd. You know what John's own disciples did? Verse 37, chapter 1, the book of John. And the two disciples heard Him speak, and they followed Jesus. I hope your life is a life where folks will follow Jesus. Well, I'm just trying to get a crowd for me. I wish you'd forget you and say, "I want folks to follow Jesus." That's who they need more than anything else. And they follow Jesus. We need to see Him as the Lord. As the Lord. Not for salvation. You need to see Him as the Lord after you're saved. He's the one to follow. He came before. He's preferred before. You might be a nice person. You might do a lot of things for God. But He must increase. We must decrease. Looking upon Jesus. By the way, none of that happens as we look everywhere else. Are you listening? That's not going to happen looking everywhere else. That only happens as you look upon Jesus. You see Him as a light. You see Him as a lamb. You see Him as the Lord. Number two is looking unto Jesus. Hebrews 12 and verse 2. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. We saw number one, looking upon Jesus. We see number two, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. When Simeon said, "Mine eyes have seen Thy salvation," he not only saw Jesus as the light and the Lamb and the Lord, and he looked upon Jesus, but he was looking unto Jesus too. Looking unto Jesus. Once you get saved and you're following Him as the Lord, we need to look unto Him every day. Every day. You're not going to make it on your own. I can't make it on my own. You need to look unto Jesus. You need to trust Him. Don't take your eyes off of Jesus. The world pulls our heads this way and that and tries to turn it. When my wife wants my attention, sometimes she doesn't always have my attention. Maybe I'm reading something or something like that, and she's telling me something. How many of you guys, you're not going to admit that. But that's what we do, isn't it? If I'm reading the paper, if it's morning, I'm kind of glad. You know, most of the time I'm up before her, and I can read my paper and eat my breakfast, and I can do my thing. But if she's there and I'm reading my paper, you know, she'll say, "Honey, this happened and that happened," And then when it's something that she really wants me to get, or if she has said something totally ridiculous, and I said, "That's good." You guys, you know what I'm talking about. She does this. Just like that. I kind of get a kick out of it. And she gets my attention. Listen, keep your eyes on Jesus. You need to hear what He says. You need to see what He does. You need to know He's there. Amen. You know, it's amazing how many people are trembling today. You're worried about this and worried about that, and you haven't even looked unto Jesus. Well, I talked to my doctor. Well, I talked to this person. Well, I've asked several people. Look unto Jesus. Get your eyes on Jesus. You know, Peter walked on water, and praise God for that. I mean, it's a wonderful thing. But the Bible does very, very clearly say that as long as Peter had his eyes on Jesus, he walked on the water in the storm. But when he saw the waves and he saw the result of the wind and he took his eyes off of Jesus, he started to sink. Keep your eyes on Jesus. You won't sink. Look at Psalm 32. Psalm 32. In verse 8, the Bible says, "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye." Yeah, you got to get eye contact with Jesus. He'll guide you with His eye. You've watched people. By the way, parents who discipline their children, I mean Bible discipline, all they have to do in public many times is just look at them. Dad has a paddle look. You know? I mean, there's just a look. I watch people. I see them. You can tell parents who really discipline their kids. I mean, who do it the right way, the Bible way. You can tell. And Poindexter will be doing something he shouldn't be doing, and Dad just looks. And the boy's going... I mean, it's like two different worlds. Let me tell you something. God wants to guide you with His eye. You need to look unto Jesus for everything. Lord, I've got a decision to make. Look, I'm looking at You, Lord. Hey, give me that eye. That's all right. I want to know, should I go this way? Lord, I'm heading this way. Is that okay? Look unto Jesus. Isaiah 58:11, the Lord shall guide thee continually. Now in Hebrews, it's interesting as we think about looking unto Jesus, it's interesting, Hebrews 12 and verse 1, the context here as we looked at verse 2 is a race. And that's when he says, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. So I'm looking at that race. That's my life. And I need to look unto Jesus in that race. Why is that? First of all, because He is the eternal author. That's what it says. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He's the author. He's the eternal author. Before the foundation of the world was ever laid out, He wrote out a course for my life. Are you listening? My course is not the same as Tim's course. My course is not the same as Kelvin's course. My course is not the same as Don's course. Our courses aren't the same. You say, well, I'm going to just follow His path. No, you can't do that. God laid out a course for your life. He's the author. And He's an eternal law. It's always been. This is a plan for you. He has a plan for Bob Wilbar. A course laid out for him. He's the author of your course, Bob. You say, well, Pastor, I just want to follow your. You can't follow my course. He has a course for you. And He has a course for every person in this room and every person. You say, well, how am I supposed to know? You got to look unto Him. That's how. He knows. He knows every little hairpin. Amen. He knows what's He knows where the quicksand is. Well, I'm running my course. I hate to run. I hate to drive very far. Amen. And you know, I'm running along and I don't know which way I'm. There's a fork in the road. How am I going to know? I got to look to the author of the course. Amen. That just makes sense to me. It should make sense. Yeah, I got to look to the one that laid out the course. Well, there's a detour. What am I supposed to do? I got to look to the author. He's the eternal author. Hey, if I'm going to finish, if I'm going to win, I've got to look unto Him. He knows my course. He sees it from above. He knows where I'm supposed to be. He knows what I'm supposed to do. I don't want to miss anything. I wish if there was nothing else I could get you to do today, it's to want whatever it is God has for you. That drives me with our teenagers because they don't always want whatever it is God has for them. Sometimes they just kind of look at you like, dude. And you know, I want you to want what it is God has for you. I mean to desire whatever it is God has. And understand, before this world, every nook, every cranny, every mountain, every hill, before that was ever laid out, God laid out a course for your life. Why wouldn't you look unto Him?
Well, I talked to my buddy, and
your buddy doesn't have a clue. He didn't even know what's around the next curve. God does. Huh? Oh, my friends. Yeah, your friends. Fine. Talk to your friends. Look unto God, though. Look unto Him. He's the eternal author. Then another reason we need to look unto Him is He is our example. He's our example. Notice verse 2. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before Him, endured. The cross, despising the shame. Wait a minute. The spit of Roman soldiers and of angry Jews, the spit was dripping down His beaten and bloodied face. And He hung naked before a world that cried out, crucify Him. And He's beaten and He's bloodied and He did that. He endured the cross. And the Bible says it brought joy. I need to look unto Him because He did it. You say, I just can't make it. Well, He did. He hung and said, it is finished. Huh? Why do we want to look at losers? Let's look at a winner. Let's get our eyes fixed on the winners, not on the losers. I'm amazed how people, you know, yeah, that guy, I'll hear some teenager, yeah, they, well, so-and-so went to jail. That's cool. It's not cool. That's a loser. I think about this fellow that's confessed all these murders. And you know, I in my mind, I kind of wonder if he's thinking, I think I might have just wasted a life. I don't know if he's thinking that or not, but I know I would be thinking that. I think I just wasted a life. Yeah. Why waste your life? Look at somebody who finished. Jesus, he's hanging on the cross, and the Bible says the joy that was set before him endured. Consider him, verse 3, that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. By the way, if you faint in your mind, you're one step from fainting. Consider him. Today, he's our example. He did it, and he did it with joy.
I'm going to finish, but I'm not happy about it.
Jesus was real happy about it. He finished with joy. He's the eternal. Why should I look unto Jesus? He's the eternal author. He's our example. And then the third reason, because he's the end. Author, finisher of our faith. He finished. Hung on the cross, he said, it is finished. What is our salvation? Well, preacher, if I run my race, what's at the finish line? He is. He's at the finish line. I don't know if you need anything else at the finish line. He's there. I think about Alta Stewart, and Dale's told me a little bit about his mom, and she just came to the finish line. Amen. She got to the finish line. You say, well, who's there? Well, there's people there that she loved, people there she knew. But here's a woman that prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, spent hours talking to Jesus, and there he is. He's at the finish line. He's the end. The end of the journey. How many times do we say, I just can't see the end, preacher. It's just so bad, I can't see the end. That's why you need to look unto him, because he's the end. I know you sit there, there's folks sit here and you go, well, you know, that all sounds good, makes for good, but no, it's real. It's real, it's what you need to do today. Look unto Jesus. I think about old Simeon, you know, he said, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. What's he saying? He's saying, I'm looking upon Jesus. What's he saying? He's saying, I'm looking unto Jesus. And then the third thing, he said it for years, I'm looking for Jesus. Looking for Jesus. He was just, he was devout. He was a man with the Holy Ghost. How? Because he was looking for Jesus. Titus 2, verse 13 uses that terminology. In fact, several verses use that terminology. Titus chapter 2, in verse 13. The Bible says, looking for. There it is, looking for. What's that mean? That means looking for. Looking for. Looking for. Huh? That's what it says. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. And we need to be looking for Jesus. Last Sunday night, I preached that day and that hour. The Bible says we don't know when that is. But we can look for him, just like Simeon didn't know. God just said, Simeon, you're not going to die till you see him. Every day, I believe Simeon, he who knows, maybe he went out, went to the funeral home, bought his casket. You know, he knew he was going to die, but maybe he dusted it every day and thought, boy, it won't be long, I'll be in that thing. Huh? Won't be long, I'll be in heaven. I mean, this is a guy getting old. This is a guy, you know, he knew, though, he's going to see the Messiah. Looking for, can you imagine every little child he saw? Is that him? 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 Every parent brought in their little baby. Simeon said, is that him? Hey, Lord, is that him? Is that him? Why? Because he's looking for him. Are you looking for Jesus? Are you looking for him? See, how was Simeon so right with God? How was Simeon just? How was he devout? How could he do that? I mean, come on, preacher. How could he do that? Well, here's what I think. I think he kept his heart right by three things, and they're this. First thing is, he was listening for his approach. Amen? That's what we need to be doing. And the Bible tells us what to listen for. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 16 tells us very, very clearly, and it says, attaches to this, to comfort one another, to comfort one another with these words. It says this, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." I mean, are you listening? You know, we're looking for, well, there's a lot of sounds in the world, but how about that trumpet? How about that voice? How about that shout? Amen. Listening for his approach. Bible says, "For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised." 1 Corinthians 15:52. Amen. Huh? Looking for Jesus. Well, there's so many things the world wants us to listen to. When's the last time you just said, "Lord, I'm listening for your shout. And I'm listening for the trumpet." I remember the song, "With the Sound of Trumpets." And we did it in one of the churches where I pastor now. It seems like Dave was young and played his trumpet. Was that the song when you you played your trumpet on that? And boy, it was so exciting. "With the sound of trumpets announcing from the sky, Jesus is coming." He is. One of these days, that sound is going to be heard by his. And I'm gone. And you're gone. And we don't have laryngitis. And we don't have arthritis. And we don't have bursitis. The itis family is left behind. Amen. Glory to God. Looking for Jesus by listening for his approach, then also by loving his appearance. What do you mean, preacher? I'll explain it. Look at Hebrews 9, verse 28. Hebrews 9 and verse 28. Loving his appearance. "So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." Huh? Loving his appearance unto salvation. Hey, when he appears, he's not going to take the sins of mankind on him and be hung on a cross. Our sins are forgiven. They're blotted out. They're gone. Huh? He comes unto salvation. My salvation. If I was the only person on this earth, he'd have done that for my salvation. And he'd come for me. "In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." That's what your mom found out, Dale. Janet, if you're here, that's what she found out. The other, he said, "I've prepared a place for you." Loving his appearance. I can understand a young person saying, "You know, I'm not too excited about the Lord coming. I'd like to get married someday." I'm sure Monica today would say, "Yeah, I'd like the rapture to take place maybe in a year or something." And I understand. But what really bugs me is older folks who, you know, "Well, I'm having a pretty good time, and I've made a lot of money, and I've got a lot of things, and oh, how sad that we would put all of that before saying, I just can't wait to see Jesus." Loving his appearance. Do you love your salvation? Or you just kind of put up with it? Do you enjoy it? Or are you enduring it? Have you lost your first love? There was a day you were so excited about being saved. I think loving his appearance is loving his salvation. Real quick, 2 Timothy 4, verse 8. I'm just about done. And the voice is just about done. This recording will be exciting. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 8. The Bible says, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge..." By the way, he's always right. He knows who will receive this crown of righteousness. Watch what he says. "Which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Brother Hawkins, in my mind, I think those that love his appearing are those that are looking for him. Looking for him. I told this story recently. I don't remember when it was, but every Christmas, Grandma and Grandpa came. And Grandma and Grandpa, I love Grandma and Grandpa, but Grandma and Grandpa brought nice presents. Every now and then, Grandma would throw in some green socks, but seriously, most of the time, it was some pretty good toys. And I loved it. You know, and every Christmas morning, we weren't allowed to touch anything until Grandma and Grandpa got there. And guess what we did? We stood by the window and fogged it up, looking out that window, waiting on Grandma and Grandpa to come. I remember over and over pressing my nose up against that cold window till it about stuck to it. You know what I'm talking about. Breathing, just so excited about Grandma watching that fog come on the window and having to wipe it off to watch and watch. There they are! Do you love the Lord's appearance? Are you looking for Him? Looking for Jesus, listening for His approach, loving His appearance, and the last thing, longing for His approval. Philippians 3, verse 20. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven. It's talking about our citizenship. It's talking about the Christian. I'm a child of God. He's my Father. I'm born again. That means born from above. My citizenship, it's in heaven. My conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is that lifestyle. It is that citizenship. That's what causes me to look for Him. That's what causes me to look for Him. Who shall change our vile body. Boy, that's good, isn't it? Yeah. That it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. Do you understand? When we go to heaven, we're not going to hate. We're not going to envy. We're not going to gossip. We're not going to be bitter. We're not going to be nasty. We're not going to be unkind. We're not going to say bad things. We're not going to think bad things. We're going to, it seems like, since we're going there, we ought to start preparing. Looking for Jesus is to long for His approval. God, I want to please You. I want to get ready for my heavenly place where I'm going to be for all eternity. Let's live like citizens of heaven. Amen. Like Simeon, this Christmas season, have your eyes seen His salvation? Are you saved today? Have you trusted Jesus as your Savior? Have you been born again? Are you a child of God? I hope that you are. If you're not, get saved. Please don't leave without Jesus as your Savior. I was saved at the age of 17, and I would never, never want to change that. The only way I would change it is if I'd got saved sooner. I love being a Christian. Like Simeon, have your eyes seen His salvation? Look upon Jesus today. See Him as the light. It'll expose your sin. But see Him at the same time as the Lamb of God who took away the sin. Trust Him and be saved today. See Him as Lord and follow Him. Let Him lead you. Let Him lead you. And then look unto Jesus every day of your life. Look unto Him every day. God, I need Your help. I need Your guidance. And then look for Him. He's coming again. Glory to God. He's coming again. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. I wonder if there's someone here this morning who'd say, Preacher, if I were to die right now, I really don't know if I'd go to heaven. I'm not sure if I'm saved. Please pray for me. Would you raise your hand? Anyone at all? I do not know if I'm going to heaven when I die. Pray for me. Pray for me. Raise your hand. Anyone like that? Pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm saved. How many Christians would say, I'm already a Christian. I'm already saved. I know that. But God is speaking to my heart this morning about something in my life. Please pray for me. Would you raise your hand? All over. Slip it up. Slip it up. God's speaking to my heart as a Christian. Father, bless the invitation, please. Help us to make the decisions You've put on our hearts through Your Word. And I pray, God, that our eyes would see Your salvation today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. The instruments play the invitation song, Living for Jesus. God's speaking to your heart. You have a decision to make. Folks are coming. You need to come. Come on, right now. If you are not sure you're saved, then we want to show you how to be saved today. Somebody will take a Bible. Somebody will show you how to know for sure you're going to heaven when you die. like Simeon, don't die without seeing Jesus and trusting Him as your Savior today. Come on, right now, God's speaking to your heart. Folks are here at the altar. If you need to be, there's time. God's speaking to your heart. Come on. Come on. Any others need to come? Amen. All right, look up this way, please. I am delighted to announce that John Selders has come this morning, and he wants to join the church. He's been saved and baptized, and all in favor of him joining the church, let it be known with a good hearty amen. John, we welcome you in our church, and we're so delighted to have you come. If you'd like to go on out in the foyer and wait out there, I'd like our folks to make sure you go by, shake hands with John, welcome him into the church. And that'll be wonderful, wonderful. All right, there is no ensemble practice at 4:30, just choir at 5, and all the different practices at 5, as well as the men's prayer time, ladies' prayer time, teens will meet at 5, and then tonight our service at 6. Don't forget the shower, bridal shower for Monica Rincon right after the service, and all ladies are invited to that. And again, we're here, we're open, doesn't matter how much it snows. Amen. Somebody will be here. All right? Amen. Brother Don, close in prayer, please.
Father, indeed we are thankful for the gift that you've given to us of salvation. Father, may we, as we go forth today, live a life that's looking for you, desiring your best, your guidance, your direction in our every footstep. And may our life, in following your footsteps, shine the light of salvation to all those around. Guide and direct, Lord. Bring us safely again together tonight. We pray in Jesus' name.